The Romance of Tristan and Isolde by Joseph Bedier. Recording by Joy Chan. Part the First. The Childhood of Tristan. My lords, if you would hear a high tale of love and of death, here is that of Tristan and Queen Isolde, how to their full joy, but to their sorrow also, they loved each other, and how at last they died of that love together upon one day, she by him, and he by her. Long ago, when Mark was king over Cornwall, Rivelin, king of Lyonesse, heard that Mark's enemies waged war on him. So he crossed the sea to bring him aid, and so faithfully did he serve him with counsel and sword, that Mark gave him his sister Blanchefleur, whom King Rivelin loved most marvellously. He wedded her in Tintagel Minster, but hardly was she wed, when the news came to him that his old enemy, Duke Morgan, had fallen on Lyonesse, and was wasting town and field. Then Rivelin manned his ships in haste, and took Blanchefleur with him to his far land. But she was with child. He landed below his castle of Canoël, and gave the queen in ward to his marshal Roholt, and after that set off to wage his war. Blanchefleur waited for him continually, but he did not come home, till she learnt upon a day that Duke Morgan had killed him in foul ambush. She did not weep. She made no cry or lamentation. But her limbs failed her, and grew weak, and her soul was filled with a strong desire to be rid of the flesh. And though Roholt tried to soothe her, she would not hear. 3 days she awaited reunion with her lord, and on the fourth she brought forth a son, and taking him in her arms she said, "Little son, I have longed a while to see you, and now I see you the fairest thing ever a woman bore. In sadness came I hither, in sadness did I bring forth, and in sadness has your first feast day gone. And as by sadness you came into the world, your name shall be called Tristan, that is the child of sadness." After she had said these words, she kissed him, and immediately when she had kissed him, she died. Roholt, the keeper of faith, took the child. But already Duke Morgan's men besieged the castle of Canoël all round about. There is a wise saying, "Foolhardy was never hardy," and he was compelled to yield to Duke Morgan at his mercy. But for fear that Morgan might slay Rivelin's heir, the marshal hid him among his own sons. When 7 years were past, and the time had come to take the child from the women, Roholt put Tristan under a good master, the squire Gorvenal, and Gorvenal taught him in a few years the arts that go with barony. He taught him the use of lance and sword and scutcheon and bow, and how to cast stone quoits, and to leap wide dykes also. And he taught him to hate every lie and felony, and to keep his given word. And he taught him the various kinds of song and harp-playing, and the hunter's craft. And when the child rode among the young squires, you would have said that he and his horse and his armour were all one thing. To see him so noble and so proud, broad in the shoulders, loyal, strong and right, all men glorified Roholt in such a son. But Roholt, remembering Rivelin and Blanchefleur, of whose youth and grace all this was a resurrection, loved him indeed as a son, but in his heart revered him as his lord. Now all his joy was snatched from him on a day when certain merchants of Norway, having lured Tristan to their ship, bore him off as a rich prize, though Tristan fought hard, as a young wolf struggles caught in a gin. But it is a truth well proved, and every sailor knows it, that the sea will hardly bear felon ship, and gives no aid to rapine. The sea rose and cast a dark storm round the ship and drove it 8 days and 8 nights at random, till the mariners caught through the mist a coast of awful cliffs and seaward rocks, whereon the sea would have ground their hull to pieces. Then they did penance, knowing that the anger of the sea came of the lad, whom they had stolen in an evil hour, and they vowed his deliverance, and got ready a boat to